Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View From Here. Some of you may remember John Johnson, who used to tell stories to the reporters of the Kickapoo Free Press. No one knows how old he is, but he seems to have been around forever. I asked him to write a few words about Christmas in the old days. What follows is excerpted from his letter. We always made a big deal about Christmas and Santa Claus. The kids sure liked it, and seeing their serious little faces when that jolly man asked them what they were wishing for made us feel darn good, too. The grown-ups, that is. So we'd always find a fellow who looked the part and then supplement his appearance with a little rouge and a pillow or two. But the beard had to be real. Phony whiskers never look right, do they? Anyway, that year, we signed up Ben Benson, the nephew of Marge and Verl Benson, to play the part. He was visiting from Spokane out in Washington, a very long train ride in those days. He was a big kid, and he looked like Kris Kringle himself. He played the old fella to a T. He practiced with dolls and stuffed animals, not real kids, because we didn't want the children to know that Santa was make-believe. So Ben would hold a teddy bear on his knee and talk to it just as if it were his 3-year-old cousin. The guy was really good. He had a way with the character. We all were confident. Unfortunately, we had never put a real child in Ben's lap. Then, when it was showtime the day after Thanksgiving, Lars Lamplighter put his granddaughter on Santa's knee. He plopped her up there, smiles and all, and he walked away. I guess none of us was paying much attention until we heard the scream. Not the child's scream, Santa's scream. No sooner had little Lena sat on Big Ben's lap when she wet him. And I'm not talking about a silver dollar-sized damp spot. The little nopper must have been holding it all morning because Ben was drenched, soaked, saturated. She was relieved. He was horrified. Ben held her out at arm's length and intoned what can best be described as a wail, a continuous tone of an unpleasant pitch, which both enthralls and repels the listener, kind of like bagpipes. Big Ben could not handle it. The poor lad was done in by the simplest of human functions. What parents and babysitters take as dull normal, poor Ben took as the worst of all horrors. He was done. He was kaput. He stomped out, and we had no Santa. So I took his place. It didn't matter that I was 6'2" and as thin as a rail and that everyone in town knew who I was. We had to have a Santa. The very next day, I took my seat at Peterson's Supply over in the corner near the huge Christmas tree that Orville Peterson always supplied for the holidays. I had a pillow or two stuffed in my costume, and I sported a clearly phony, glued-on beard. But the kids didn't seem to notice at all. Kids need to believe in Santa. We need the kids to believe in Santa. And Santa needs the kids to believe in Santa. So all that being said, the kids accepted a tall, skinny, 30-something Santa with a phony beard and a high-pitched laugh. About an hour into my stint, I hoisted little Joanne O'Connor onto my lap. As I leaned over her, she said, in that marvelous whisper voice of hers, "I know it's you, Mr. Johnson, but I won't tell." Sweet girl. Say hello for me if you see her before I do. Well, I kept that job as Varroc was Santa Claus for the next 30 years. I finally gave it up because I couldn't sit for all those hours without having to pee my own self. I always thought that it was kind of ironic. Ben Benson and I quit being Santa Claus from opposite sides of the same coin, so to speak. Anyway, that's my story, and a true story, too. When I think about John and his stories, I think about the rest of us who might still be alive at 83 or 94 or 111. John has claimed each of those ages for himself. And I hope we share our stories, too. This great son of the Driftless is happy to be here for another Christmas and wanted to let us know exactly how it used to be. Really?